It's the last day of class. Oh my goodness! You guys are so awesome. You've made it this far. And so, who's here? Mia is here. Nicole? No. Andrew's here. Mauricio, Marco, Salaya, Carl is here. No, he's not. Marco is here. Here he is. Were you here on Tuesday?
No.
No. Okay. Raquel is here. Alvaro is here. Arturo is here. Jonathan Guerra is here, of course. Daniela Edgar Lopez is here. And Giovanna is here. Carlos is here. Luis Marchan, no. And Christian is over there. Were you here on Tuesday?
No.
Carlos Martinez, no. Eric, no. Guillermo Mata, no. Jonathan Moore, no. Oh, there we go. Were you in the first place? No. Yeah, okay. Josue is here, of course. Where is he? No, he's not. Oh, my goodness. Because it's raining. Eric is here. Sarah, Jan.
You came in your bicycle
and it's raining. Oh, well, I'm going to get wet. I didn't know it was going to rain. David Martinez. Alexis. I came from Ocean Beach, by the way.
Ocean.
Yeah, it takes a long time. Alexis here? Yes.
Take the freeway?
No, you're not allowed on the freeway. There's a few places you're allowed on the freeway. Adrian is here. There he is. No, it took me about 2 hours and 30 minutes, 45 minutes. Usually it only takes me about 2 hours and 10 minutes. So I was here. I got here late. I didn't get a chance to change. Yes. Ocean Beach. Jana here. Noah here. No. And Francisco. There's Mr. Maurizio. Okay. So let's get started. Yeah, it's Bike to Work Day, and I got a t-shirt, but I'm wearing the old t-shirt. I didn't wear this one. Here's Mauricio. Here you go. Okay. So, who was not here on Tuesday? Okay, Cassie's that way. Cassie's that way. Here's your chance to evaluate me. And just don't worry, I don't look at these until about 2 or 3 weeks after the semester's over. Is that the same one? Everybody else get one? Okay. Don't think I'm going to make your grade better. It's not going to make your grade worse. And who needs them?
What?
She did already?
Yeah. Okay. But I was late. I was thinking of something to give us.
No. It won't hurt your grade. It won't help your grade. I don't look at it until the end of until about 2 weeks after I turn in the grades. Okay. So now we've got a lot to do. Oh my goodness. Because we're ready to baffle the broker. And we tie all the questions you gave me together into a presentation. And I hope it's not too boring. The morning class is going But first, we have a good joke. Anybody have a good joke? This one's an end of semester joke. And it's actually very useful. Especially if you're going to go to the university. Okay? So if you go to the university, remember this. Don't forget this. At the university, there's this class with 500 students, over 500 students, and your entire grade is based on the paper that you have to have turned in by noon on the last day of class. If you don't turn that paper in on noon, by noon of the last day of class, you get failed. You fail the class. You got student evaluation on Tuesday? Did you do a student evaluation? What?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And so it's noon on the last day of class, and the professor's desk is filled with papers. About 15 minutes late, this student bursts in, oh, my car had a baby, my sister needed a new transmission, I'm sorry I'm late. And the professor said, sorry, young man, I cannot accept your paper. And the student said, yeah, but do you know who I am? And the professor said, I don't care if you're the son of the president of the college. I cannot accept your paper. And the student said, yes, but do you know who I am? And the professor said, young man, there are over 500 students in this class. I have no idea who you are. The student said, good. He runs over to where the papers are, puts them in the middle, throws them up in the air, and runs out. Remember that. your birthday. Yeah, sure. Okay, cool. So remember that, folks. If you go to the university, remember that treachery always wins out the day. Okay, so when's the final? Right, Thursday. At what time? 10:40 or something like that. Okay, I will be here, of course, at 10:10. And probably, maybe the room will not be available, but probably will be. And I'll stick around all morning long, so don't worry. So there'll be specific questions on chapters 12, 13, 14, and then real estate and the other investment alternatives. There will be general questions on everything else. General questions on chapters 1 through 11. The only calculations will be stock calculations, and they're very straightforward. Bring your calculator. The formulas will be on the exam. And you must remember and be able to do the automobile liability limits. Now, some of you, liability limits. You must, some of you might need a calculator, but you can do these usually in your head. But use a calculator, no problem. So two pages of handwritten notes, front and back, handwritten. Don't pull off what the guys at the prison did. Okay, any questions, any thoughts? Now, if you're not going to be here Thursday, contact me. We'll make other arrangements. But that's it. That's the end of the semester. Then the 25th is graduation. Anybody going to graduation? I'll be there. You'll see me. I think, Lord willing, the quick don't rise. Because I'm one of the people reading names. I'm a lucky guy. And so hope to see you on and graduation day. Okay? So any questions, any thoughts? Ready? Turn in any assignments. Last day, Thursday, turn in the assignments. Even if they're late, I don't care how late they are. There's a penalty that grows over time, but it's still worth your while. Okay, so let's do Baffle the Broker. Because you gave me some really good questions. Some silly, this is good. I got some silly questions. But some really interesting questions. And, you know, I've been teaching this for a very long time. So it's common sense. It's just part of it. And I know that sometimes people just kind of go, what did he say? I don't know. But some of you just won't ask questions. But for some reason, in this purview, they will. So some of the questions you're going to say, didn't that person see that presentation or not? So you can answer the question. If you have the answer, just go ahead and answer it. If you have a question, I have an answer. It might not always be right, but it didn't cost you anything. So what did one ocean say to the other ocean? Now, did you think I really didn't know the answer to this? Right? Anybody know the answer? Yeah, right. They didn't say anything. They just waved each other. Are you sure? Yes, I did see it. What are you saying? Oh, shall I go on? Oh, don't be such a beach. Oh, okay. Well, okay. I won't send you any more messages. But speaking of messages, have you seen this one? This one's cute. Babe, I think I'm pregnant. The AT&T subscriber you are trying to reach is no longer in service. You know you spelled you wrong. Oh, and the AT&T you are trying to reach is no longer. What is a bond?
It's a loan.
Carlos says? It's a loan. That's exactly what it is. It's a loan. Anyone want to take a crack? Here it is. A bond is a fixed income security. Security is a fancy word for a financial instrument that can be traded. Traded. There are markets. Once you make the loan, you can trade it. Normally, you don't make any financial transactions that are tradable, but the investment world does it all the time, and that's called a security. Bonds are used by corporations, state and local municipalities, and federal governments to finance projects and operations. Investors receive interest and promise to repay the principal. Bonds are boring, but they're reliable. Do we get rich from bonds? No, unless we're already very wealthy, then we might be able to build our wealth through from bonds, but no, especially if they're a long time. Are high-rated bonds any less volatile than an index fund or a mutual fund from a reputable investment firm? And some of you are going, what? In other words, volatility is very, risk is very difficult to measure. Return is easy to measure because we know how much money we started with, we know how much money we wound up with, that's our return. But risk is hard to measure. So we use the volatility as a measurement of risk, even though it's not a perfect measure, in fact, it's very imperfect. So this person is asking, look, if I buy high-rated bonds, are they going to be less risky than a mutual fund? And the truth is that maybe a little bit, but not much. Bonds in general exhibit far less volatility than their stock counterparts. Junk bonds are an exception. Junk bonds tend to move with stocks. If you purchased only very high-rated individual bonds, you would most likely have about the same or probably a little less volatility than a typical bond fund, since the mutual fund may have some lower-rated bonds in their mix. But if you purchased a very high-rated mutual fund, they say this is government securities, and they say, no, it's going to be less than that. However, as with any potential investment, we would need to thoroughly research the particular mutual fund and its history to be confident about exactly how to react to a rising interest rate environment, which is typically the economy strengthening, or a falling interest rate environment, the economy weakening. Know your investments. Do your research. What is the best type of life? Oh, I'm sorry, that's not yours. That's me. That's not mine. What's the best type of life insurance? You let Carlos answer it. He says, what's the best type of life insurance?
Term life insurance.
Everybody, what's the best type of life insurance?
Term.
Buy term and invest the difference. Please go back and watch the Chapter 10 presentation. Please. Because somebody's going to try to sell you, not just somebody, somebody's are going to try to sell you whole life. Remember that life insurance agents are going to try to get you to buy whole life because that is how they make their boat payments. We want you to be able to make your own boat payments after many years of investing the difference between the whole life policy, $200 a month, and the term life policy, $20 a month. So take that $180 a month and make your own investment. Do you think the economy will crash again within the next 10 years? Yeah. It's very difficult to believe that we will not have some kind of economic downturn within the next 10 years. History tells us that we are already long overdue. However, the question is, how severe will it be? And many people are still shell-shocked. You know, many people are still worried about it going to be like 2008. I don't think it's going to be as bad as 2008, but that doesn't mean I'm right. Right, 2008 was the worst downturn since the Great Recession. Of course, I have absolutely no idea of whether my prediction will be anywhere close to what actually happens. I mean, I'm not going to tell you I know what I'm doing. I don't know. It's the future. That's why they call it the future. If we knew what was going to happen, that would be the past. There are some who believe that we are in for a horror show far worse than 2008 because we simply papered over the excesses of the internet and housing bubbles with excessive debt. I think they're overly pessimistic, right? We're working through the debt as we speak. It's going away. The Federal Reserve Bank is now what's called deleveraging, which is a fancy way of saying they are getting rid of debt, not taking more debt on. But that doesn't mean I'm right, and it doesn't mean that they're not right. They might be right. We might be in for a really, really bad time, and in which case, get out of the Northern Hemisphere because if 25-30% of people are out of work, the last time that happened, we had a world war after it, so I don't know. We'll see. I don't think it's going to be that bad. What really scares me, not the economic problems, but the nationalism, the threat of a global trade war. The economy, the global economy, could get very ugly very quickly. The Chinese are already retaliating, and they're starting to sell our treasury bonds. What does that mean? That means that if our treasury bonds start going up and down in price, if they start dumping treasury bonds, the price goes down, the interest rate goes up. Now, all of a sudden, we already have a debt problem. Now we've got to buy or make loans at a much higher interest rate. Now, this can get really, really ugly. Trump doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He's telling you that the Chinese are paying for the tax. Isn't that what he's saying? Have you been, maybe you aren't following it, but he's saying that the Chinese are making us richer because they're paying the tariffs. Who's paying the tariffs? You should all say we are. Who's paying the tariffs?
We are.
It's a tax on you, on us, on the American consumers. I don't know if he believes that, or if he just feels that it's important to lie to his base because they believe anything he says. I'll shoot somebody, they're okay. If we do, since the last time this happened, we started a World War II. If we do start a third world war, you have nothing to worry about. 10,000 degrees will dry the tear from your eyes. It'll all be over. Bright little flash. You guys don't know, do you? Have you seen Dr. Strangelove? That's the one movie I want you to see. I want you to read books, but watch Dr. Strangelove. How I stopped worrying, how I learned to stop worrying and love the Bible. Okay, let's put away the doomsday scenarios and ask ourselves, how should we prepare for the next recession? Economic downturn, market crash. Personally, this is me, doesn't mean I'm right. I am hanging in there with regard to my wife and my stock investments, figuring since we probably won't be withdrawing from our stock mutual fund anytime soon, we'll just let them ride. With regard to real estate, this is where I see some possible opportunities coming up. Real estate in San Diego has once again risen to the point where you are not receiving sufficient rent to cover your expenses. We call that cash flow negative. Have you heard that? In other words, you buy a place, you rent it out, you have to pay money out of your pocketbook, right? You have to write checks more than the rent coming in. In the next recession, if and when we see prices fall sufficiently to where we can buy properties that are cash flow positive, your humble instructor will be jumping in feet first. However, my ideal, but likely unrealistic goal, is to purchase some commercial property in San Diego.
It's surprisingly affordable compared to real estate. I mean, as long as you're not buying an office complex.
Commercial real estate?
Yeah.
In Tijuana?
No, in San Diego. I was looking at listings, and it's not that far from, like, homes here in Otay.
Commercial real estate?
Yeah, you can get an apartment building for close to the price of two homes here.
You got to show me these things.
It's a national city, though, so.
National city ain't bad.
Yeah.
Nasty city, yeah. You know, people, they just say horrible things about national city, but it's close to downtown, public transit is awesome, it's a walkable community, and they got great ice cream. National City's not that bad. And people go, oh, you ride your bike through National City? I say, yeah, it's terrible. Horrible. You got houses and cars and kids and shopping centers. And it's just really dangerous. And they taught in National City. Not down at the National City campus. But an apartment building, how many units?
Not that many. I think it was like...
Four?
Six?
Six units? Well, I want to know. How much? Six units... How much? 1.9 million?
Oh, no, 1 million.
1 million?
1 million. Motivated seller.
Ah! Motivated seller usually means it's falling down. It's falling down and you've got to rebuild it. So add another 600,000. And add ulcers and stress. Yeah, so it's more than just a million. Let me show me that. Show me that. Not right now. Okay. What would you recommend to someone who wants to buy a house within 5 to 6 year period? Mm-hmm. What would you do? What would you recommend to somebody? You don't have to be right.
Save up a down payment?
You got it right. Exactly. Create a goal for yourself to have a down payment of as much as you can afford. Remember chapter 1, goal setting. Build your credit score with a secured credit card, chapter 5. Find an honest real estate agent. Get a referral. I have the name of an honest guy. Pray the recession hits in about 5 or 6 years when you're ready to buy. Because that'll help you a lot. And good luck. Any other suggestions? What else? Get involved in property management so you learn what it's like. Own property. Okay. A family friend hasn't paid her HOA fees in over 10 years. The HOA is threatening to take the lien from their house. Is that possible? Now, what does HOA stand for?
Homeowners Association.
Is that possible? Well, you know, I'm surprised it's taken this long for them to act, and they're only putting a lien on the property. Do you realize these HOAs are run by ex-Nazi Gestapo officers? These people are nuts!
Yeah.
My sister-in-law lived in one, and my son was 2 years old or 2.5 years old, and we went to the pool, and every chance he gets, he takes off his clothes and runs around naked. He was 2 years old. She got a letter from the HOA. One of your guests was wearing inappropriate attire, in parentheses, naked. This cannot... 2-year-old kid, what are you... So, I'm surprised that they haven't sold your firstborn into slavery and seized all your assets. We suspect that a family friend is buying homes under his name for a different person, and by using that person's money, is this legal? I don't know. It sure sounds sketchy. I'm not a real estate lawyer, so we need to consult someone who's capable to answer this question. Plus, is the other person aware of what's going on? I would think if the other person's aware of what's going on, fine. You know, that person's acting as their agent. But I don't know. So anybody have any knowledge of this? No, we didn't know if they're doing it behind their back. I'll bet you there's all kinds of fraud going on because you're misrepresenting who you are. Because the person whose name it is has to sign the documents. But I don't know. What advice would you give to people who consistently are applying for credit cards at department stores in Costco? Well, it depends. You know, are they doing this to build their credit score? If they are, make sure you're only using a little bit of credit, paying it off every month. Or are they maxing out each and then paying the minimum payment? If they are, I don't know what you're going to do. Have them take Business 121? Make loss, not loans? I don't know. They need to go to Shoppers Anonymous? Just wish them a lot of luck. How many licks does it take to get to the center of a city pub? Somebody asked this question. Well, I did my research, and science has proven it is impossible to actually lick your way to the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop, because the repeated attempts by dedicated volunteers of all resulted in disaster. Their teeth fell out. You can't do it. You got to bite your way, because if you start licking, your teeth will fall out. What is the quickest way to make money?
Options.
Lose money. There's Las Vegas, marrying a rich person, going into pocket picks, drugs, crime. Wait a minute, I got it! White collar crime, securities fraud. It sounds really exciting, doesn't it? Have you seen The Wolf of Wall Street? That kind of stuff. You know, just you'll make tons, but you might go to jail. Okay, you're asking me to do it legally and ethically? I'm sorry. How about legally and ethically find a need and fill it? This is the age-old advice for those who want to start a business, because starting a successful business is the only legal and ethical way that I know of to become rich quickly. And good luck. If you want to learn how to become rich slowly, consider taking Business 123 Introduction to Investments next semester, because we'd love to see you. It's online next semester. What do you think is the best way to invest your money and why? The problem is there's several choices, so what's best for one person is not necessarily best for someone else. However, for the vast majority of us working grunts, I believe the best way to begin investing is to start putting $50, $100 into a long-term oriented global stock growth and income mutual fund through your 401k at work or through your own Roth IRA. Of course, if you are interested in learning about the many choices in the universe of investment alternatives, please consider taking Business 123 Introduction to Investments. For the fall of 2019, there are two online sections. Next spring, there should be one face-to-face class that starts before this one, 8:35, and there'll be two online sections. We'd be honored and privileged to see you. Or, you know what, if you don't care about the college credit, just go to Wonder Professor, click on 123 instead of 121, and start listening, watching the presentations, doing the assignments, the worksheets, the handouts, the commentaries. my, you know, contact me, you know, even if you're not getting it for college credit, I'll help you, because I could talk about this a whole lot longer than any reasonable person would ever want to listen. I enjoy this immensely. I get emails from people all over the world. In fact, I got an answer to one guy. It was so bizarre. This one woman from China was sent me an email asking questions. I said, well, how did you find out about my classes? Did you go to an iTunes? Because a lot of people find them through iTunes. And some people find them on YouTube, but a lot of people find them on iTunes. Okay, yes. Okay, pass this over this way. And she said, no, from 163.com.
What the hell is that?
So I go to 163.com, and it's all in Chinese. I don't know what the hell I'm looking at. But it's kind of like a Yahoo there. And so I go to Carol Pullman, who's awesome and is at the Learning Research Center. She's from Taiwan. Speaks fluent Mandarin and the Taiwanese dialect, which I think is a little very similar to Mandarin. And I said, Carol, can you help me find... And she was able to find me. They took verbatim, there I am, not me, but my presentation, and all the Chinese characters are below, and they translated it. Never asked me. Everybody asked me. Unlike the folks in Texas who sent me an email and said, can we translate yours? There's a Vietnamese community in Texas. I'm sure that's culture shock. And they asked me if they could translate the material. I said, sure, put my name on it. Just, you know, just don't say it's yours. Say it's mine. And you can translate it because it's free for everyone. So if you don't want college credit, no problem. How do you invest in stocks? Where do you start with stocks? What are you going to tell you? You know what I'm going to say, right? Why aren't you saying it? You have this class here at Southwestern called Business 120. Have you heard of it? Oh, you. Let me tell you. It's a great introduction to the world of investments, and we spend about one-third, about 6 weeks, a little bit more actually, of the semester on stocks. Why? Because stocks are exciting. Stocks are sexy. The stocks are really risky, so you need some serious education, okay? How do you know which stocks to buy, which stocks to be good for the long term? It's difficult to condense the 6 weeks of instruction about investing in stocks into one short sentence, but let's try. Choose stocks from high-quality companies that have been in business for many years, have their roots deep in the economy, and have paid dividends for many years, preferably growing dividends. Cool? What kind of companies can you name that are like that?
3M.
Johnson & Johnson, Coca-Cola, Procter & Gamble, ExxonMobil. Right? Walmart, Home Depot, Microsoft, believe it or not. Now, some tech stocks have become these stalwarts. But if you really, really want to invest in Twitter or Facebook, good luck. You know, they're great companies. I'm not saying they're not good companies, but you never know who's going to replace Facebook. Maybe nobody. Maybe something will come along and they'll replace. I don't know. But is anybody going to replace Walmart? Amazon? No, I think they'll be. Yeah, they'll stick around. Individual stocks versus mutual funds. Again, the vast majority of us working grunts simply do not have the time, motivation, education, talent, temperament needed to research, evaluate, choose, and then subsequently monitor individual stock investments. We are busy living our lives. That is why mutual funds are so popular, investment companies. However, if you are at all curious about what it means to intelligently invest in individual stocks, please consider taking Business 123 Introduction to Investments. Oh, you've already heard about this. You know, when you're old, you start to repeat yourself. But I'm purposely trying to scare you with regarding to choosing individual stocks. Why? Because it is fraught with danger. I want to show you a quick video, real quick. This is what we use in Business 123. We don't want you to make these same mistakes, folks. Why? Because you can literally destroy yourself. It's about life. Here's a woman that was caught up in this is the dot-com bubble. Can you see that? Tell me when I hit the lights. Who's that over there? Christian, on the right hand side up, down. Yeah.
You think that anxiety would make the risk averse?
She and Russ had put their life savings into two tiny, volatile technology stocks. Why?
Because we're working very hard and not furthering ourselves. It's too slow. We have got to do something aggressive.
It is scary, but at this point, she just wants to shave the charm. Well, actually, she took it. Ola Warren just invested recently that was very conservative, and she kind of went and did something that, I think we'll make out on. As long as the market doesn't crash.
What'd she do?
She went and invested in the stock there. She's always going to do very well.
I'll say the truth, I don't even know the name of it. I know the call letters are AMLN. It's supposed to double by August. Do you worry about your future financially?
Oh, yes. All the time. I'm sure we're trying to do something nice. So what I'm saying, there's really nothing to depend on except yourself, so.
AMLN is the symbol for a stock that's no longer around. It is Amylin Pharmaceuticals. It was a tiny biotechnology company here in San Diego. And when they bought it, very quickly, it went on to lose 95% of its value. They bought it in early 1987, and then 2 years later, it had lost over 95%. They took her entire life savings and put it in stock. She didn't even know the name of it. She didn't know what it did. All she knew was the call letters, and someone told her it was going to double in 6 months. You see why we try to scare you? We don't want you doing that. We don't know what their life savings were, but whatever they were, they're gone. Now, if they had held on to them, the company, look what happened in 99. The company came back and eventually was sold to another company in 2012. Would somebody open the door for them? Yeah. It was eventually sold to another company in 2012, and they would have gained their stock back. They would have gained back. They got clobbered. Do you see why we try to scare you? What is your personal favorite mutual fund? Would you hit the lights back again, Christian? Unless you got some, like, go to sleep. Okay. Well, what mutual fund would you recommend? Which would you sell as? What do you look for? Okay. As mentioned before, for the vast majority of folks in the 20s, 30s, and even into the 40s, my recommendation and my personal choice for me, which is the largest holding I have, my wife and I, in the long-term oriented Global Stock Growth and Income Mutual Fund. The particular one that I recommend and personally own is called Capital World Growth and Income Fund. It has done well in good markets and bad, more importantly. How's it done in bad markets? But there are many good choices. There are many more not-so-good choices. So do your research. Hire a trusted and honest financial advisor. Stop by. Make an appointment. Contact me. As I said, I can talk about this a whole lot longer than anybody would ever want to listen. Do you think stock apps like Robinhood are trustworthy? Now, my apologies, I got confused. There were a couple of pieces of paper, a couple of slips that I wasn't quite sure it was 121 or 123. And we were in this, so I put this in both. And we were thinking that this symbol means this. Is that what that symbol means? Is that what it's supposed to mean? No, I don't know. What? Does that say? Yeah, but then what is this, the chin? Is that the chin? That's the chin. I don't know. If you're simply going to buy a few shares at a time, then I think you'll do fine. In the Business 123 class, we learned that Robinhood really is not free. You are not paying a commission, but you are being charged via the spread. That's the difference between what you buy it and what the real price is or the best price is. So we talk about going down to San Isidro and changing your dollars and pesos back and forth. There's not one price. There are many prices, depending on who you go to. It is very low cost, but it isn't free, and whatever that is to you, too. Are the stock apps on phones legit? Can you really buy, trade, sell through an app? Yes, you can really buy, trade, and sell securities using a program on your smartphone. However, not all brokerage firms are created equal, And whether or not I would trust an application depends upon the trust I have in the brokerage firm that is sponsoring the app. For example, in the 123 class, In the 123 class, we took a close look at an example where Robinhood allowed a specter trader, a trader speculator, to open up a position that was incredibly risky. He started with $5,000 and then went on to lose $55,000. Robinhood panicked. They closed out the position, meaning he locked in. They locked in the losses, and they closed the account and said, "You owe us $55,000." By comparison, our brokerage firm would not have permitted the trade in the first place. I'm pretty sure we would not have. I mean, I've never asked my boss. I would not have. I would have said, "Look, if you want to do this, you need to find another broker. I'm not going to allow you to do it because I don't want to be going to you and saying, you know, you got to come up with $40,000 or $50,000." I don't want clients like that. And I think that our back office is very strict, which means they look at all the trades and they go, no way. They probably would have required the guy or gal to come have like $100,000 in the account in case something bad happened. Can I become a... Do you want to see it? Do you want to see the trade? Yeah? I think I put it up there. Yeah. Trader says he has no money at risk, and then he promptly loses almost 2,000%. Okay, so what happened? Well, he just got hammered. He bought and sold at the same time these options. He bought options and sold them at the same time. Now, when you buy an option, you're limited to how much the price of the option is. That you lose it, you lost. If you sell an option, you have unlimited liability because the stock could zoom up. And that's exactly what happened. The stock did really well. And before this guy thought was going to happen, he thought he was going to wait until the option almost expired. A trader on the other side said, no, give them to me now. So he had to go out and buy them at a huge price, and he didn't have the cash in the account. So Robinhood panicked and said, oh, close out the position, and he lost $50,000. Okay, well, we'll come after him and close his account. So now Robinhood has to go after the guy for $55,000. If he doesn't pay, then they got to make the good on the deal. Do you understand what I did? If you don't understand, don't do it. If you do understand, don't do it. Because that's how scary some of these things are. Okay, can I become a stockbroker? All right, okay, good. Any questions? Any thoughts on that? So that's why we tell you, know who you're dealing with. Can I become a stockbroker without going to the university? Yeah, you can. You can. You don't need a four-year degree. Eventually, they're going to want you to get a four-year degree. If they like you, though, they'll help you pay for it. They'll help you pay for it. The dirty little secret in our world is that there's no guarantee that someone coming from a prestigious university will do well as a financial representative. Someone from a community college might do as well or better than a whole room full of graduates. I have my own predictors. Are you a positive, optimistic person with a sunny disposition? Do you like to socialize, which is a fancy way of saying network? Do you like to network? Do you enjoy meeting new people? Do you want to help them succeed? Are you not afraid to ask someone if they need your help? If they say no, are you still willing to go to the next person to ask the same question? And then go ask 27 more people. Because you're going to have to deal with rejection. And not everybody's going to love you. Oh, well. In short, are you a go-getter who refuses to give up? Will you never give up? If you can answer yes to all or most of these questions, especially the part about never giving up, I guarantee you will do well in our industry. I guarantee it. Because there's business. There's plenty of business out there. People need your help. You hear about the talking heads on television, on the internet, telling people, oh, you have to do this. Wrong. It ain't that easy. You might bounce around, but eventually you'll find a position. Remember, the financial services industry is huge. Banking, brokerage firms, mutual funds, real estate transactions, insurance. Talk to a counselor or me. Remember, I could talk about this. Did I mention the salaries in the industry are higher? Yeah? You look at it and pass that around? Yeah, pass it around until tomorrow. Think about it. Is gold a defensive investment when a recession looms? Has gold outperformed other securities during recessions? What do you think? There's no correlation. Sometimes it does well, sometimes it does poorly, sometimes it doesn't do anything. So there's no reliable correlation. If you believe the world is going to end, then go buy gold. Remember how well the gold did over the long term? Want to see this slide again?
What? How much was it, like 20 bucks?
Oh, yeah. No, it's 50, but it's still. It wasn't that good. And, not that one. That one. Okay. Zoom slideshow. Oh, no. I guess we can't do two slideshows at once. Yeah, I guess we can't do two slideshows at once. Yeah. There it is. From 1800, $1 has become $22 million. That's how huge our economy has become since the Industrial Revolution. Whereas gold has become $55, better than the consumer price inflation, but not much better. So, you want to buy gold? Buy gold. It sucks as an investment. Yeah, here we go. When do you recommend pulling from your 401k? When should you recommend, when you want to pull from your 401k? Your retirement account, your Roth IRA?
When you won't get hit with a penalty.
Well, okay. Ideally, you would never raise your 401k or your Roth IRA until you're in retirement. But there is one major exception, in my humble opinion, and that's buying a home. So you can't live in your Roth IRA. You can't live in your 401k stock mutual fund. But you can live in a home. And it's a decent investment. It's a home first. So buying a home is a major goal for many people, but scraping together the down payment or the closing costs often seems like an insurmountable task. With many 401k and similar plans, you can borrow from the plan for the down payment. This does have some advantages in that you won't be hit with a huge tax bill and the penalty, but as you pay back the loan, the interest goes into your account. You're basically paying yourself, which is cool, unlike a whole life policy where you don't get the interest. However, there are some disadvantages. The loan usually has to be repaid within 5 years. If you lose or quit your job, the loan becomes due within 60 to 90 days. You have to pay the whole thing back, or else it's a distribution. You have to pay the taxes and the penalty. And the loan payments, the bank or the mortgage company is going to look at the loan payments and say, oh, you know, you reduce the amount that you could borrow. So there's some disadvantages. This is why I'm a big fan of the Roth IRA. Remember that the contributions are already taxed. The contributions are already taxed, so you can pull them out without taxes or penalty. The earnings will be taxable if you use the earnings. Anything above the contributions will be taxable. Those are the earnings. And you normally have to pay a 10% penalty, but on the first $10,000, you don't have to pay that 10% penalty. The same rule applies for the traditional IRA, but the entire amount is taxable because it was pre-tax going in. Did I answer the question? Am I losing you? You're starting to get like, some people are going outside. Okay, now I'm not sure. Roth IRA versus employer-sponsored 401k, or employer-sponsored 401k and Roth IRA. So in other words, you're saying, should you do one or the other or both? And I'm saying, yeah, sure. Yes, go ahead. You were asking for an either-or question, or yes-no answer. No matter. The answer is the same. Do it. If you can contribute both to your 401k and a Roth, do it. Now, be careful. If your 401k is absolutely awful, and there are a few that are, the choices are just horrible and the fees are outrageous, then stick with the Roth. However, there's usually at least one decent choice in every 401k plan. Who remembers the maximum contribution limits? 19,000 for the 401k, 403b, 457, and 5,000, I'm sorry, 6,000, dude, 6,000 for the Roth. So what I've done, my wife and I, we put money into our Roth and my 403b. So the 403b is pre-tax, the Roth IRAs are after-tax. So we got the best of both worlds, but you decide. But both are good, either one or both. Do you think a 20-year-old should start putting money into a Roth IRA? Yeah, but if you can, right? You might be saying, oh my God, I'm having trouble just staying alive. But you can start with $25-$50 a month. How much is your cell phone payment? The age that I like to stick into people's young adults' minds is 25. Get started by 25, because then life is starting to, you know, oh my goodness, I see my life ahead of me. 30. If you get started by 30, it's still plenty of time, right? Hopefully things are starting to calm down. You should do well. And every year, $50, next year, $60, two fewer trips to $5. Can you do that? Okay, is it possible to transfer a Roth IRA to another Roth IRA? Oh, sure. Make sure you do what is called a trustee-to-trustee transfer, which is a fancy way of saying that your current Roth IRA custodian sends the funds directly to the new custodian. Don't let them send you the money, because then you got all kinds of crap you got to do. You can still get it in there, but that's a trickier thing. The IRS takes 20%, and then you got to come up with 20% to get the 20% back in your withholdings the next year when you do your taxes. So make sure it's a trustee-to-trustee transfer. Now, it's also fairly easy to transfer Roth transitional IRAs to 401ks to Roth IRAs. There are some restrictions depending on the individual plan. But it is your money, and you should be able to use the investment manager of your choice, but not always. We're stuck here. At Southwestern, we're stuck. If you want to be in the 457 plan, we've got to use ours. That's it. You can't use anybody else's, and it sucks. I mean, it's no very good. And so, as soon as I leave, I already put in the paperwork, and they said, but you haven't left yet. I know. I want to make sure it's there on day one. May 31st, 2019 is my last day, so you transfer that immediately.
Yes, sir.
Are the gains from tax-deductible IRA plans started and maxed yearly from a young age better than the tax-exempt withdrawals from the Roth IRA? there are some difference of opinion. Do you want the tax break now, or do you want the tax break later? There are some people who think you should take the tax break now. Don't trust them. They'll change the rules later on. I don't know. I'm a big fan of the Roth. All the compound earnings from the Roth will be tax-free in retirement. Tax-free in retirement is a golden opportunity. Any difference of opinion? Anybody? If you really need a tax break now, you're kind of stuck. You know, use the 401k, the traditional IRA. But if you don't need a tax break now, I think the Roth is a winner. Do you recommend obtaining an MBA from a UC school or a state university? Now, I'm not quite sure. Is it as opposed to a profit, for-profit, like National University or Phoenix, or just getting an MBA. So my apologies, I'm a bit confused. Are you asking whether it's a good idea to get an MBA from the UC or CSU campus, or are you asking if it's a good idea to get an MBA in the first place? So let's do the second question first. Assuming that you already have your bachelor's degree, are dedicated to finding your place in the world of business, an MBA can be very useful. Some people downplay its significance, and the truth is, you don't need an MBA to succeed. But it can be a great counterpart if your degree is a highly specialized area, such as biology or physics. Okay, so they already know that you have the technical background. If you get the MBA, that means you're marrying the two, and that can be a real good winning combination, right? But if you just go right into business, and you don't really need the MBA, it's a pretty thing to put next to your name. Unless you want to teach, then you got to have a master's degree. That's what I have. I have an MBA. Now on to the first question. Certainly, I would recommend that you choose a UC or CSU campus. If you're able, but I'll tell you, my professor in marketing, this is the guy who introduced, now he was very old at the time, he's probably dead by now, this is the guy that introduced Fiddle Faddle and Screaming Yellow Zonkers. Have you ever seen Fiddle Faddle? You can still buy it every once in a while.
From the Midwest. This was the most odd, unusual thing. We figured, 6 months, and it would be gone. It would just be a splash in the pan. We kept getting orders for it. It was so amazing. People liked it.
Basically, it was Cracker Jack, but they did a marketing scam. Made it look like something better than Cracker Jack. It was basically the same as Cracker Jack. I would recommend you choose a UC or CSU campus if you are able to dedicate yourself to the studies for the required time frame. SDSU is a great school, folks. I know it's got a party school reputation, but it's got a great business program. Excellent. The public universities have moved somewhat toward making it easier to advance the educational careers of those with existing responsibilities, such as jobs and families. However, they are nowhere near as flexible as Phoenix and other private schools. Which will give you the better education? Well, that's a question that has been heatedly debated for years. The props here will say, national Phoenix.
Some of the same props, the part-timers,
they teach at Phoenix, they teach at university, they're trying to make a living. While I do believe that the education is there to be had at the private schools, it is also true that most of these entities are money-making enterprises first, schools second. In that vein, remember you're going to pay considerably more going to the private schools than you will with the public schools. Any comments, any criticisms, any suggestions? Yeah. Where did I go to school? My undergrad degree is at it's not called Westchester University. Westchester State College, outside of Philadelphia. You've been to Philadelphia? You're not missing anything. But it was a great school. You know, it started out as a teacher's school. It was Westchester's Normal School, or Westchester State Normal School. That's what a teacher school is called, Normal School. But then it became Westchester State College, and that's when I was there, and then it became Westchester University. That was my undergraduate degree in mathematics with a computer science minor. My MBA is from National. I started at SDSU, but then when I got this job, I said, no way, it'll take me forever to get my MBA at SDSU. So I went to National, and it was expensive. It wasn't that expensive because I got a pretty decent scholarship. They gave me this award I was the teacher of the year in Chula Vista. I was a long time before most of you were born. Okay. Do you honestly think that stocks give a better return on investment than real estate? Now, this is a question from the previous year. I love it. I still use it every back of the program because it's so much fun. What about the fact that stocks are not tangible and real estate is? How do you feel about that? Well, you know my friend, Harry Verdurci? You know him, Harry Verdurci? Was having the same conversation with his wife. They were both worried that stocks really did not represent anything that was real. He and his wife told themselves they would sleep on it and then discuss it in the morning. The next morning, I need your help on this, okay? Harry arose early and washed his hair with
Head and Shoulders
shampoo made by and washed his body with in a shower using water that was heated by natural gas supplied by that's SDG&E. He then shaved using a razor. He put on his clothes that he bought from and everybody, and then he had a bowl of
Cheerios
from
General Mills.
He then remembered that he needed to stop for gas on his way to work. So Harry got in his
Ford Focus
and stopped at the
Chevron
station for gas. He then received a call on his new
iPhone
service by
AT&T
that he had received just yesterday via
UPS.
He was very proud of his new iPhone. His boss wanted him to stop at
Starbucks
and buy coffee for the visiting engineers who had arrived this morning on a
Southwest Airlines
jet made by
Boeing,
who were staying at the
Marriott.
When he got to work, Harry fired up his
HP
laptop and connected to the internet via his company's
Cisco
router with service from
Time
and sent his wife a message that he agreed with her and that they should stop investing in stocks and put everything in real estate because stocks were so intangible. When she received the email on her
iPad,
she was very pleased. You see what goes on? We're so inculcated, which is a fancy way of saying we're so immersed in this society, they're all around us, that we don't even see them. You know, we just assume, okay, Nike shoes, FedEx brought the iPhone. You make sense? Yeah. Both stocks and real estate have been good investments for prudent, patient, long-term oriented investors. What I hope I have impressed upon you is that no investment is perfect, right? Each investment has advantages. Every investment has disadvantages. And if you can navigate, you'll find the investment that speaks to you and works for you.
Why do you take your shoes off?
Why do you keep your shoes on in class? You see, some cultures, you never go inside with shoes. Born in the wrong culture, I guess. How did you become a stockbroker? Okay, the other class asked me this too. It's a bit of a long story. Many disparate things came together. I started working for a small brokerage firm as a computer consultant. This is when I taught computers. I was teaching programming computers here at Southwestern. I had received my MBA, and I wanted to work more with business because I was doing consulting. So I wanted to do more computer-based consulting, IT, all that stuff. As I started to get carpal tunnel, I still have, they wanted me to get the surgery. I said, no thanks. So I needed to curtail my time in front of a computer. At the same time, I had invested with that same brokerage firm that I was working for, building models for the president, and the investments were doing well. And I thought, hey, you know what? I think I'd like to represent this company. I'd like to become a broker. And the vice president said, oh, we'd love to have you. So they sponsored me. I passed the Series 7 in the fall of 1998. It was 20 years ago. Over 20 years. I then petitioned my dean to allow me to teach finance, business, math, investment classes. He wasn't too keen on it. He didn't want me to leave the computer department. But when the carpal tunnel started to become a serious problem, it was either that or put me on disability because I could not keep programming. I miss teaching programming because you really get to challenge the students. You know, you give them these little projects and they're pretty straightforward. Then you give them a really hard project. How do I do this? I say, you have all the tools you need. Think about it. No, no, no. Go think about it. Think about it for 3 minutes and 17 seconds, or 7 minutes and 47 seconds. And then, if you don't have it, go play volleyball. Go walk the dog or beat the children or whatever. And then come back. Because believe it or not, your brain is really a miracle device. You keep working on problems while you're not even thinking of them. Especially the Greeks knew it. You had to, when you went to school, you had to exercise. That was part of your education. Of course, they did it naked, all oiled up. Think about that. But and then the French have a saying. They have a saying that doesn't translate well, but it's called at the top of the stairs. And what they mean is, as you're going to bed, you're walking up the bedroom to your bedroom at the top of the stairs. Ah, Eureka! I know the answer, you know, and so that's why I love teaching programming. But anyway, I'm not doing it anymore. I love teaching finance and investments. There's not as many Eureka moments. There are more, it's more subtle. It's more, you know, sort of like swim around and then finally go, okay. It's not like flashes. You have to get used to the idea that, yeah, I'm going to lose money sometimes. Oh, well, it's not the end of the world. I love both, but teaching is my absolute passion. I consider myself a teacher first. The fact that I get to teach what I love means I'm the luckiest guy in the world. Thanks for asking, by the way. What is the best return you had in 1 year investing in the stock market? And you know what? This is so funny because I really don't even think about it. I don't. I try not to focus on the return in any 1 year. Instead, I always look at the overall percentage return over the many years I've been investing. So let's see. Let me go back and see if I can calculate the returns. This is what I'm doing on the computer. Oh, cool. That was not that hard. I used the spreadsheet and all of a sudden, oh, yeah, 2003. That was 37.7. Pretty darn good, right? That's after 3 years down. 2000, 2001, 2002. So remember to keep a long-term perspective. How well have you done over 10, 15, 20 years? Keep a long-term perspective. Don't get too greedy when the markets zoom higher. Put everything on the aggressive growth. When the markets fall, don't panic. Don't move everything out. And the world doesn't end. And pinching Trump doesn't start a global trade war, which starts a global nuclear war. Oh, well.
Just invest in Raytheon, then.
Raytheon, General Dynamics. Who else? Lockheed Martin, Boeing. Yeah. Would you have taught financial planning and money management at the university level, where every college student is practically broke? What makes you think the students here at Southwestern are broke? I am fairly certain that most universities would consider it beneath them to teach this class for credit at their institutions. There are many professors here who believe that this is not college-level material. You should not be getting college credit for it. They believe it should be a continuing education class. I disagree. I can't imagine why. And then I asked them, do you know what your automobile liability limits for your insurance policy are? And they go, I have full coverage. So, yeah. We used to make the students do a 2-3-page paper. It was like you were pulling their teeth out. I don't know how to well some of you. I assume that, I mean, I hear from the other professors in the writing classes. I know. I don't make you write as much. We don't grade your grammar. This one got me. I told you don't use them, but some people. It took me a while to figure that one out.
Anyone?
You got it. Anyone? Anyone? Yeah, right. Hey, Zeus. How much would it be to have you as our investment manager? Thank you for asking. I'm fairly old school. You would pay a commission for the investments I recommend, the modern day, a go-go way to soak your clients. I'm sorry, I mean, charge for investment services is through what is called assets under management. The advisor adds, say, 1 or 2%. I've seen it as low as 0.5% now. Wells Fargo is offering that to your portfolio. The reality is that over time, if you are a buy and hold investor, now if you're kind of investor that buys and sells, then this is going to be a better deal because you're just charging you 1 or 2% for all the commissions that you do, not charging for the commissions, they're just charging you assets under management. But if you're buy and hold, which is what I want you to be, and that I don't want any clients that buy and sell, you're going to spend far more in fees if you just paid the commission to be done with it. But hey, I'm old and I have ethics. I'll never forget, I was sitting in this meeting, this seminar where all these people in suits, I had my suit on actually, and this guy in a very expensive suit was talking about how, you know, what are you working for? I was saying, I don't really think it's in the best interest of the clients that what we're doing. This was a while ago when it was becoming, now it's de rigueur, everybody does it. Charging people 1 or 2% on top of, so what are you talking about? You send them a bottle of wine on their birthday, take them to the steakhouse, golfing, they'll love you. And I really didn't know what to say. I said, but that's not the issue. You know, whether they love you, whether you feed them nice stuff, the issue is you're screwing the people by overcharging them. And I didn't know what to, I just kept my mouth shut. Shut up. What stocks do you personally invest in? What stocks have you invested in? What stocks have given you the most return? Wow, a whole lot of interest in what I invest in personally. This is a great question, by the way. No one is ever asking this of me, and I often wonder why not. Here I am pontificating about investments and how important it is to save for your future in a high-quality, well-managed, long-term-oriented global stock growth and income fund, and no one has ever bothered to ask me this, where I put my money. Pretty bizarre, huh? Okay. What would be the thing you would like to do today? What would be the thing you... Aren't you going to tell us? What would be the thing you would say? Okay, I'll show you. People have asked me this before. And here it is. I'm a big fan of American funds. You know, people say Ford, Chevy, Honda versus Toyota. There are many good companies. I fell in love with this company a long time ago. Why? Because I just didn't trust. I didn't trust Wall Street. I was one of those people. I don't trust it. I already had my MBA. I knew the stocks were the best investments over time. But I didn't trust these funds. And so at the brokerage firm I worked at, the president I worked for was a bit of a curmudgeon. He would bark at people. And I even later, a few years after I started working, I met his daughter, who said, "You're Frank Piano? You're the saint who works with my father." No, he's not that bad. He fired me about 4 or 5 times. And he called me up 3 weeks later. Frank, can we try this again? Okay, sure, Frank. And so I would say, you know, I just don't trust it. I don't trust it.
It's not ready.
Okay. And then his second in command, the vice president, who is a woman, she's still a woman, I hope. And she was a woman in starting the business when women were really not treated well in the business. Now they are. Now they're treated a lot better because they're better than men when it comes to investing. And she showed me this company. I said, you know, I really don't trust. You don't trust them. I said, right. I mean, how do I know what the hell they're doing? You know, they live in a different world. She goes, look at this company. And I did it, and I just said, I started dancing around. This is the company I'm interested in. They're boring. But they've been around since 1930. And look what kind of lifetime return. 11. This one is international, hasn't done very well in the last 10 years. But there, look at that baby. 13%. That's pretty darn good. Now, here's the one I'm talking about. Capital Growth Growth and Income. Before the Great Recession, this was over 11%. But what's happened is outside the United States has not done very well the last 10 years. The United States has exploded. And there's a few different reasons for that. Part of it is that our dollar has gotten a lot stronger. So the last 10 years, I've been a loser. Not a loser, but still have done pretty well, right? I mean, I'd be happy with that. But outside the United States, I have this one. I don't have that one because that one is basically the same as this guy. I just bought that one, gave it to my son and younger people. I don't have that one because that's the same as these two. I have this one, and now because I'm old, I have all these guys. Boom, 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 and boom. But see, look at that. A balanced fund doing 10%. And now look here. See, the global balanced fund started in 2011. So, but compared to its peers, it's way ahead of its peers. In fact, this has got one of the best recommendations from a company called Morningstar, because other global balanced funds have done even worse. So that's not the fund's fault. That's not my fault. But I mean, I think it's going to turn around. I think it's going to turn around. But is it all peaches and cream? No. You've got to be ready for this. Bum, bum, bum. I can't stand this. This is what happened after 2008. I'll never forget. How are we doing? My wife said, how are we doing? Oh, just fine, dear. Just fine. Yeah. But notice the difference as you go down the risk versus return. As you know, less risk, less return on the upside, less downside, more downside protection. And notice the balance fund and the junk bond fund basically did as badly, but then the bond fund did a whole lot better. So you ready for a 40% downturn someday? Yeah? No? Okay, then don't invest in stocks. What would be the thing you would like students to take with you themselves once the course is over the most? Why don't you tell me? Actually, there are many things. I hope you take them as fast. Why don't you name a few? What? Name a few. I want you to take
mortgage calculations.
Mortgage counts. Yeah. You go to home buying. Can you do the mortgage counts? Now, actually, it's all online. Go to AIM Loan or whatever, cash call, and you can put in the mortgage you're interested in. They'll tell you what it's going to be, but you can do your mortgage counts. Understand that you're going to be paying a ton of money to the bank. That's why the banks are always so nice to you when you walk in. Any other things you want to think of?
How to do your own taxes.
TurboTax. Taxes, anything else?
When to get life insurance.
What kind of life insurance?
Term.
And when do you buy it?
Niños.
Okay. You're missing the biggest one.
Smart investing.
Intelligent investing. Make love, not loans. Spend less than you earn. Live beneath your means. Pay yourself first. Who you marry is the most important financial decision you will ever make, and then subsequently divorce. What would you say to your 20-year-old self? Oh, I have some really good stock tips, right? This is difficult to answer. Since I already know how the story turns out, there are obvious things I would change. There are situations I know now how to handle differently than I handled badly. But to be truthful, I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I always ask myself, why? Why are you so blessed? I guess the most important thing I would tell my 20-year self is stop worrying so much. But I don't think it would help. So I don't have to worry now, and I worry anyway. I don't have to worry. What recommendations do you have about life? Well, I know you guys hate books. I just know it, right? I just know it. But this is the one you're going to read. This is it. It's called The Hero. You've seen it. You've seen this movie so many times. Because they steal, or they one guy, The Hero with a Thousand Faces. Disney steals this book all the time. And they never give any credit. At least George Lucas gave him credit. He passed away in 87, I think. It is a roadmap for any human being wanting to live a full and meaningful life. Each of us is a hero. We're on an adventure. It's called life. It's scary. It's beautiful. It's joyful. It's sad. It's absurd. It's bizarre. We're all a Moses, an Abraham, a Job. Job is the best one. Why, God? Why did you put all these afflictions on me? And what does God say? You know? Anybody know? Where the hell were you when I invented the universe? When I created the universe, where were you? You know, this is your life. You live it. If it's horrible, it's horrible. If it's great, it's great. Live it. And of course, you know, some people don't make it. They have a horrible, they die for whatever reason. Jesus, Buddha, Arjuna. I like Arjuna. You know Arjuna? He was the guy, Krishna was his god. And he was put in a position where he had to fight his brothers for the throne, the civil war. And he went to Krishna and he said, I don't want to fight my brothers. He can, Madhavadita.
Yeah.
They can have it. And Krishna said, no. This is your life. You must live it. And so he does. It shows you how all the major religions are simply trying to show you the way toward fulfilling your destiny. And man, if that doesn't pique your interest, it's the book that George Lucas used to create Star Wars. Does that get you interested? The Lion King. What? You just bought it. He's got it on his cell phone. You don't have to pick up the book and turn the pages. You can put it on your cell phone. Oh, you bought the hard book. I'm sorry. So that would be my recommendation. And read books. Throw away your television. Read books. Can we still have one page of notes for the final exam?
Two pages of notes.
Right. Two pages of notes. You said if I invested $50 per month, I could retire in 40 years. Could you talk about this? You mentioned it does not matter the profession, we still could be millionaires. How can I? You are correct in inferring that as long as you have a long-term perspective and enough time, you only need a small amount of money to invest regularly. So back to chapter one. If you put $50 a month, that's only $600 a year, folks. And as you, I know, he's going, not like it's better than that. As you pay down debt, as your income rises, you can do a whole lot better than that. But if you put $50 a month and you get 8%, you're going to, 40% stock, 60% bond, $350,000. Like, not that great. If you get 9%, 70% stock, 30% bond, you'll have $500,000. Not bad, right? And that's only putting $30,000 away, right? If you get 10%, not the best stock figures, because that's what the S&P 500 has done, you get about $700,000 at 11%, and we saw some mutual funds that have done that over 50 years, you're going to have $1 million. And then if you get really darn good stock pickers, you'll have $1.4 million. And that's only $50 a month over 50 years, though. Cool? So there's hope, right? Hope for your future. What if you put it in the bank? And you're not even getting 4% now. But you get a toaster. Or a waffle iron. It makes it all worthwhile. So we end at the beginning. Remember the first slide? It is a gloomy moment in history. Never has the future seemed so dark and incalculable. The United States is beset with racial, industrial, and commercial chaos, drifting we know not where. Of our troubles, no one can see the end. When was this written? Yeah, in the 1800s. So I'm going to give you a different perspective. It is a fortunate moment in history. Never has the future seemed so bright and promising. The United States is the most racially diverse, screw Mr. Trump, industrially strong and commercially prosperous nation in the history of the world. Of our continued success, no one can see the end. Who said this? Me. Now. So thank you all for a great semester. Please don't be a stranger. WonderProfessor.com will be up. You can go back and review it. Tell your friends that they can go through. They will get college credit. But they can review all the material. I'm retiring. I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I don't get to torture students anymore. Actually, after a year, I can come back part-time. But I hate that word, retirement. I hate that word, but thank you all. I am incredibly honored to have been your instructor this semester, and all of us at Southwestern, I know there's a few jerks, but all of us are really dedicated, and we all want you to be successful in life, not only monetarily, but read the Hero with a Thousand Faces. And I know you're going to go, I can't understand it. Get a really big dictionary. Because he uses big words. But keep work through it. It'll lift you up, and then it'll bring you back down. Because that's what life is like. I'll stick around. Those of you who have questions, if you didn't get a chance to fill out student evaluation, please do so. Put it over here. Turn in any assignments next Thursday. If you ain't going to be here, send me an email. Thank you. What a
found
great event. What?
Found it.
Found what?
The property.
Do you want to buy it?
I don't have the capital.
It must be really trash.
Oh, and it says no walk-ins if you haven't put in an offer.
Excuse me.
If you scroll down, it's like one of the conditions.
Oh, that's a scam. They won't let you see it before you put in an offer?
Maybe I got the wording.
Wait, what's the address?
619 to 625 Palm Avenue.
Sale notes. Tenants not aware of sale. Please do not walk property without an accepted offer.
What? Tenants unaware?
It looks decent enough. But...
Well, I'll drive by it. I'll ride by it on my bike.
One more time.
Can I see
it? It's in my office. Sorry.
Okay, no worries. I'll get on Thursday.
Okay. Yeah, I'll bring them on Thursday. What?
Libro.
Where about it?
I know. Yes.
Well, I'll bring it back.
Yeah, obviously. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I'll bring it back on Thursday.
Okay. All right.
You got plenty of weekends. Which one did you read? Which one did you read?